It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So that's why we have to start right now.
Right now.
Right now. Also, there's a TV on in the background, so be prepared for that. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world designed specifically to be the Persian flaw of podcasting.
The what?
The Persian flaw. Seriously, you don't know the concept of the Persian flaw?
I don't think so.
Really? Oh my god. This is such... It's a literary term at this point. It's used so much. Supposedly, Persian rug makers, when they make these gorgeous rugs, purposely drop one stitch in them. Because they think only God should strive for or be capable of perfection.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that
one. And so the Persian flaw is it gets used a lot as a concept of that one flaw that makes you not quite perfect because you're not God. And we are podcasting's one flaw. Because without us, podcasting would be perfect.
I don't think this is going to be like Avogadro's number. I don't think this is going to be something that in the broadcast, I had no idea what you're talking about, but then later I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Avogadro.
Really? I think the
Persian flaw, I don't think I'm later going to remember, oh, yeah, I did know that.
Like,
of course, maybe I will, because that happens to me all the time.
I mean, to the degree that I've seen it referenced in TV shows that aren't particularly erudite without explaining it.
No,
like, I think Castle used it one time. Like,
I don't think that is one I'm going to
I'm
remember
very surprised
on the drive home
and
or something.
Ashamed of you.
Anyway. Really? You should have been more shocked about the whole Avogadro's number thing.
I'm ashamed
of
you for many reasons.
If you had just said Avogadro's number, I would have gone, oh, yeah, that's right. Of course. What was I thinking?
Avogadro's number.
but no, I'm pretty sure. Although I should
say. How many patties
of beef
do you see on this?
Two.
That's not right. There should be three. I think there are three, though.
But we talked about this before about how I'll start talking about something, like I'll make sometimes even an absolute statement about it, and then as I'm talking, I realize, well, that absolute statement I made.
What do you mean sometimes? That's pretty much how you communicate verbally.
That's weird.
Anyway, I'm Tony. I'm eating.
And I'm William, and this is episode 141.
I apologize for the eating. It was crazy. I got in just a couple minutes ago. And we're going to do two episodes tonight, so this is my only chance to eat.
You know what I think it is? I think my memory works. Like, most people have... It's like, everyone's memory is like there's a room with file cabinets in it, and there's one person there who knows what's in all the file cabinets, and when you have to remember something, it's like, you go to that person, you say, can you remember this? And they go, oh yeah, and they go to the file cabinet. I have more like four rooms, and all of my memories are divided in a not very organized way amongst these four places. And so when I ask, hey, does anyone remember this? The first person to speak up among the four people is not always the one who knows. And so,
did you recently see the movie Disclosure?
That person will say, oh, no, I don't know anything about that. But then the other three might pipe in and say, oh, but we know.
Okay, you know, I have something germane to this.
And then it kind of gets all messed up.
So I'm eating Burger King. Because at the last minute, that's what the producer decided she wanted. So we're in the drive-thru at Burger King. Producer's driving. I'm chewing right now. The person says, can I take your order, blah, 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 blah. Trish says, yes. She orders my stuff. Which is a couple sandwiches and a drink. Because I can't do no fries. Because it's carbs. Anyway, so we order that. Person seems to get that, although they're kind of weird about the whole thing. Like, they're really frantic. Like, I don't know. Like, they're four, and somebody shoved them in front of a drive-thru. I don't even know. Then Trish orders hers, which is number one, no mayo, with cheese. And then after a pause, she says, and Sprite for the drink. There's a pause. Sorry, there's fire trucks going by outside. Anyway, there's a pause from the drive-thru person. Kind of long, makes you nervous. And then the drive-thru person responds with, huh?
Really?
Wow. Wait. Wow.
Well, right by. Right by. Right by. Anyway,
no, this story gets more interesting. She responds with, huh? The producer does a completely nonverbal what the hell gesture and face and everything as we all sit in silence for a couple seconds. And then I believe she says something along the line, Trish says something along the lines of, excuse me? And there's another pause, to which the person says, huh?
Wow.
And I think at that point, Trish says nothing. And finally, she gets and said, what was the drink? She said, Sprite. And much to shock, the order was mostly okay. All that happened is we got extra fries. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, I'm just fascinated by this because, I honestly can't. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm judging here, but I can forgive the first huh. It happens. We sure, all say sure. It without thinking about it.
Right.
I can even forgive the pause, although it gets worse with the pause. But the second huh, seriously, now it's the cops. Somebody is dying right now nearby. So anyway, more podcast. The second huh, like, there was time in there.
It okay. Sort of indicates that this person thinks this is a legitimate way to respond. Well,
yeah, here's the thing. Synapses, no matter what the medium, do not move that slow. Well. So we have two options here. One option is, after careful consideration, the drive-thru person decided their second go at this was definitely going to be huh. Or, during that pause, their brain just full-on stopped working and just clicked back on as they answered. This wow. is insane.
What is going on? There's been a fire truck.
Two fire trucks and a police.
Well, an EMT.
Oh, did you see EMT?
Vehicle, yeah. And what?
That's stopping real close.
Is it right across the street? It might be the dude who occasionally passes out from being diabetic.
Oh. Well, no, but that sounds farther away. Well, that's coming toward us. Jeez. That's a lot of response for one person passing out. That's
true. He's big, but he's not that big.
Anyway. Well, I don't know. I mean,
that second haul, I'm like, really? And the guy who actually took our money had to ask us what we ordered. And that got mixed up. Like,
maybe the person was new.
It's like, and there's another fire truck.
Yeah, that's the third fire truck.
Which is funny, which is sad, because this story is hilarious, and the fire truck is stealing all my thunder. But seriously, it's like some C-grade rapper you've never heard of just decided to let his entourage run the Burger King for the night. Like, I don't even know what's going on. Well, and there's two ambulances. There could be some serious shit going down.
Yeah, I know.
Here comes some more. Seriously, people, this is like all the fire department for the whole city. They're still going. They just turned the siren off. I guess.
That's weird. Now Ezzy's here to watch.
Ezzy's concerned.
Fascinated.
When Ezzy's concerned for the lives of others, you know it's serious.
But the reason you're telling this story, I mean, you've often commented that my brain seems to move at a snail's pace
or
something.
Yes, that's the thing. Your synapses, you're a perfectly intelligent gentleman, and I will not repeat that.
Well, thank you. That was nice of you to say.
But as far as the speed issue is concerned, your synapses fire very slow.
Yeah, really slow.
And even you, after a pause this long, would not come back again with, you know what, I'm sticking with all. I feel that what is missing from this... Oh, and new rule I'm making for the entire universe.
Okay.
If anyone ever looks at you confused when you say to them, huh, or expresses any sort of, what do you mean? It's not because they didn't hear you right. Nobody mishears, huh? What else could they possibly have think you said? You don't need to repeat, huh, ever.
Well, you know, it was over an intercom, so maybe they thought it didn't go over.
Oh, I thought you said ham. Like, really, what? Huh? And by the way, huh? How is that a thing? I weep for the world. Anyway, we should probably explain the blog.
I suppose.
Although at this point, if you're brand new, you have not lasted this long.
Probably not.
Anyway.
Sirens and slow brains and
huh?
People chewing.
My nephew, when he was little enough, if you would say something, he would get confused. That's all he would say. He'd say, huh? And it was kind of adorable. But he would only say it once, and he was like two. Anyway, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. This hat has the power to read its own email out of its email address. People email it with questions, comments, topics, things like that. And it transmogrifies those emails magically into little printed cards with the information written on the cards, manifesting within itself. We draw them out of the hat at random, read them, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show.
That's the whole show. What's that called when you're using, when you're drawing lots for divination? Cleromancy? I think that's what it's called. Is that what we're doing? Maybe in a way. Not really, I guess.
I thought there was a different thing for that. Anyway. Also, there's a blog where people comment about this stuff. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. I encourage all of you to go there and tell William, what? You've never heard of a Persian flaw? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, but like I said, I remember it was just a couple podcasts ago where I talked about I haven't worn costumes forever, and then I remembered that just the previous Halloween I did, there was pictures and so who knows? Maybe
so you're saying within 20 minutes you're going to be like, oh yeah.
No, it's not 20 minutes. It's more like on the drive home, like the Avogadro's number thing.
That's not going to help us.
I know.
So you're going to talk about it on Grape Shot or whatever.
Screenshots, which we're recording screenshots tonight. We're going to review Almost Human. We talked about various media representations of the JFK assassination, which the anniversary is tomorrow, as you know.
What about Grapevine?
50th anniversary. Grapevine, we weren't able to record this week.
Sad.
We've got a part two on our gender series. We're going to be doing
the other
that.
Gender.
You're good. Probably Monday.
Okay.
Management or the next Monday.
Tell me about your week.
Oh, my week. Well, you know, we saw Thor also. We went ahead and saw it because...
Hey, I haven't said that I saw it yet.
You told me that you saw
it. I know, but they don't know that.
Well, now they do. We saw Thor also because we heard that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to...
That's what they said. I haven't seen the S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm guessing it has virtually no tie-in.
Nah, virtually not.
As the producer was pointing out, they can't afford to do that. It would screw up the show.
Suppose, but it was... We just said, we'll go watch it.
Wait, let's not talk about that until after we talk about our weeks, because we can't talk about that or Almost Human until after we talk about what we did this week, because...
Well, that's... other than the things I'm usually doing, working and things, that's really all that I did do. All
right. My week.
Okay. Your week.
Well, actually, there is one other thing you did. We went to visit Agitalin.
Yes, that's right. I get frustrated that I can't remember things, and so that just makes me not remember them.
I sang that to Trish the other day when she said something. I don't remember what, and she couldn't remember it. I was like, and then gives up. She says, that's not my song.
I was supposed to mention that, not you. I was supposed to do it.
And yet you failed.
Again.
You're a bad person, and you should feel bad.
I do feel bad.
All right. Yes, we went and visited him in the hospital. He's going to get a little time off now. It turns out, when he thought that the tumor had grown, it was actually within the parameters, basically the margin of error in the MRI. So his doctor considers it stable. So they're finishing up, and then they're going to do the crazy stuff that's bone marrow transplant freaky or whatever. And then hopefully find it all wonderful after that. So at the moment, I believe he's home. I haven't talked to him since, but he should be home. And doesn't have to come back till December 4th for an MRI.
Well, he put a comment on the blog today.
Did he? All right, yeah. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah, so we visited him, sadly, for not too long, because my life is too crazy. By the way you said I should have come to your house, I went back that way, and I didn't get lost.
Oh, good.
And it was way faster, so I'll try and remember that. And the producer and I bought a car yesterday.
What is it exactly? You didn't tell me that.
Well, I hate buying cars. I should say that.
I think you talked about this when you bought the Jackpot car.
Yes. That's the thing that started me hating buying cars.
I thought you hated him. I hated doing it before.
It wasn't fun, but that showed me the very nature of car sales isn't lying. Like, I think the most honest, good car salesman in the world still lies a fair bit. and so now I'm just paranoid, because we got so screwed on that
one. So that's the stereotype you're saying that's based on fact.
Yes.
But why would that be? Why would used car salesmen be particularly prone to lying?
Well, to be fair, any form of particularly aggressive sales is going to be there. I was encouraged to do such things in my phone sales for office supplies.
Maybe also, it's not just car salesmen, it's usually used car salesmen.
Like, it's sort of whatever you have to say to convince. And anyway, the producer's been researching cars online, and when she finds one that looks good, then we go out there and sadly find out usually that it's already been sold. So she finds one yesterday, and we're like, we're going tonight. It's date night. We'll put off date night. We'll go tonight. We go there. It's a 98 Volkswagen Passat without too much miles. Pretty surprised. Under Blue Book value. Looks good. We go there. They don't have it. They basically never had it. It's a car dealer, like new and used cars. It's a pretty big dealership. And apparently, any time they acquire a vehicle, an automated system puts it up on their website. And sometimes they don't even make it to the lot. Sometimes they go to auction right away and never have been on the lot, but their automated system puts it up on the website. And I'm tempted to say, well, why do you have it do that then? But then I'm like, oh, wait, I understand. Because then it brings us in here, and you can sell us.
Right, but how does that not apply, like with bait and switch? Because you know bait and switch is against the law. So
yes,
but they're not officially advertising it. Is that how they get around that? Or
well, there's probably things on the website that says stock may not be here or whatever.
Right.
Sure enough, and this one, I'm not even sure if it went to auction. He kept saying something about that one's not going to be available to resell, so I don't know what's going on with that. He looked it up, and he eventually determined that. But they had just gotten this other one in. Seriously, every car I've ever been shown that I didn't ask for just came in. Mm. Always just came in. Mm. An 03 Pontiac Grand Am.
Oh, wow.
With a fragillion miles on it.
Oh.
Really crazy number of miles on it. But looks okay, and we're getting kind of sick of it. And the thing is, it's cheap. Like, it was not an expensive. Well, what the hell, I'll tell you. It ended up being $3,100, which is a cheap car. And so we take it for test drive. It's got a weird sort of shakiness going on. I don't know. And of course, the salesman's really helpful, and he's like, oh, that's probably just a messed up wheel. One of the wheels is not balanced right. And he's like, when you speed up, because I was, he's like, when you speed up, does it go down? I said, yeah. He said, oh, yeah, it's definitely that. Whatever. First of all, I tell myself right off the bat, just don't listen to anything he says, because it might be the truth, it might be a lie, you have no idea, so just ignore it. But sure enough, I want to test the alignment, so as we're going on the on-ramp onto the highway, I just let go of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That thing has rock-solid alignment. Which was really nice. It also means there's no way in hell it was a wheel balance issue. But anyway, it drives pretty good. And so eventually, we look it up online. Well, unlike the other place, these guys actually had a vehicle history report, which was a good sign. And we actually did a Carfax ourselves. Long, long time ago, it was in one accident, like right after it came out. But then nothing since and seems fine. And even with the miles, they were selling it for pretty considerably under Blue Book.
Hmm.
So I kind of decided, I was like, that amount of money, if tomorrow we woke up and it had turned into a block of wood, we'd be okay. Like, it would still suck to have lost that money. But, you know, we wouldn't be like, oh, now we're screwed. We don't get to eat for the next week. Or, like, you know, we'll be okay. So I decided to risk it. And we did. And this morning, I drive it to work. And as soon as I turn it on, the check engine light comes on.
Wow.
And it appears that the rear defrost doesn't work. That being said, it still actually drives pretty nice. And what we were planning to do anyway, we definitely did now. We dropped it off the mechanic tonight. And I said, check the check engine light, see if you can fix the rear defrost, and then look it over and find out what they lied to us about and how much it'll cost. But so far, it's looking pretty nice.
What color is it?
That's an interesting question. Pontiac Grand Am. I consider a Pontiac Grand Am kind of snazzy, kind of sporty.
Yeah, that's
sporty. I kind of think it, as far as you get towards being a sports car without being irresponsible.
Okay, you know, sure.
Right on the edge of that. As a kid, I remember thinking, this is a cool kind of car I would like to have. And it is kind of cool. It has a spoiler. Never really had a car with a spoiler. Color.
Yeah, what color is it?
Well, it was referenced different places in different places. But you know that really dumb metallic light brown that 30% of all cars are?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sometimes it's called beige. Sometimes it's called tan. I've seen it called champagne at times. It's metallic light brown.
Oh.
If a car's not gray, odds are it's this color.
Hmm. That's an interesting color for a sports car.
Exactly! That color should never go on a spoiler.
And this
ever.
Is one of the few times I use interesting, not in a flattering way.
You're being sarcastic.
Usually when I say so something interesting, I really mean it. But I didn't really
mean
it was
interesting. It's not really a sports car, but it's sporty enough. It should never be that color. Not that any car ever should, but that's the color of a Toyota Corolla. That's the color of a Honda Civic sedan.
A Buick.
Yeah, like Skylark. That's the color of all the sensible cars you buy nowadays. Why the hell would they do it? I don't know. But we got it. And yeah, no, I think it's going to be pretty cool. It's way better soundproofing inside when we're on the highway. It's nice and quiet. Sound system seems pretty good. It's nice and comfy and roomy. It's got a couple bells and whistles. Ours didn't because it's technically even newer. It's an 03 instead of our 01 Focus.
It's 10 years old. Wow.
Yeah, so I think the newest car I've ever owned by a long shot. So I think it's going to be nice, but yeah, it was kind of a silly little romp to get it. And as we're filling out the paperwork, because there's a different guy that handles the paperwork, he tells us, the salesman, we're getting a deal because the salesman quoted us the wrong price. He said 31 and it was supposed to be 39. Now, first of all, this could be total bullshit, but it's funny because I said at the time, I said, that's a good thing because we would not have paid $39 for this. But it's just weird. We're trying to think about it on the way home. We're like, okay, if it's a lie, not sure the benefit because we already bought it. I mean, he said this after we signed the papers. And if it's the truth, I mean, I guess you want to instill some goodwill, you know, like, oh, we screwed up, you know, bank error in your favor kind of deal. Right. But mostly it's like, oh, no, our salespeople are stupid. Like, why are you telling us this now? It's very weird. Or, I mean, if you work in the finance department, maybe you have just a certain level of OCD that, like, you just say things that you think, you know? I don't know, but it was weird. But I think we're going to be happy. We also saw Thor of the Dark World, and we also watched... No one is... Okay, somebody go to the blog and tell me, or just try and get a hold of me, that you're watching Dracula. I need somebody...
Oh, we watched it. Oh, I told you that already.
Yes, no, but you're not... Are you going to continue?
Probably.
All right, because I need somebody to laugh with about it. Because you can't hate watch a show all by yourself, and the producer's given up, most of the other people I know have given up now, and it's still just so ridiculously hilarious. But I need company for it.
Although I don't think I would describe what I'm doing as hate watching.
Yeah, no, you think it's better than other stuff that I like. So
yeah, I do think it's you're useless. It's not great or anything, somebody, but it is better than a lot of
somebody. Let
things.
Me know they're watching it, and we can snark on it. After it's over. I haven't seen the most recent because it's tomorrow, but anyway, yeah. But I did see Almost Human also. So, let's talk about Thor: Dark World and Almost Human. Which do you want to do first?
I don't care. I mean, I'm doing Almost Human on the podcast on screenshots later, so I don't know how much I'm going to have to say about it.
Spoilers. All right.
Well, yeah, on screenshots, we give away spoilers, and we don't on this podcast.
No, I just meant this is a spoiler for screenshots if you talk about it here. Okay, well, I'll tell you a couple things about Almost Human.
Okay.
I thought it was quite clunky. It's very, very soft sci-fi. I see a tremendous amount of potential. I do not think it will last longer than a full one season at most. And all of this is pretty much exactly what I said about Terra Nova, which is why I think it will fail for much the same reason.
I agree with everything you said, except the notion that it won't get more than a season. I think that it'll do about the same as, say, Fringe.
No, here's the difference. It's not... Well, there is a factor you're not seeing. I think it's much more expensive to make. Which is what happened with Terra Nova. Terra Nova was not getting the worst ratings. It just wasn't getting really good ones, and it was really expensive.
I concede that I'm not taking that into account.
That's the deciding factor here. Yeah. I'm not saying I think it'll be so bad it'll get canceled. I'm saying I don't think it'll be good enough to warrant what I believe is a fair bit of expense to make.
That's a valid point.
Because production-wise, it's pretty cool, and I can see there being a lot of expense, to say nothing of hiring Carl Urban.
Still, for some reason, I don't know what it is with what J.J. Abrams does. Let me put it this way. If I'd watched Alias before Lost, I would not have continued watching Lost beyond the first several episodes.
Okay.
Because the two other people in my household decided they wanted to watch Alias, so I got to see a good...
I remember, and you thought the Alias was pretty shit, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't like it. But I also saw a lot of things early on in Alias that was stuff they used in Lost. And if I'd watched Alias first, and as I'm watching Lost, I would have figured out right away, oh, this is what J.J. Abrams is doing, and I would have just stopped watching.
But J.J. is not on this by himself. He's with some other guy, J.H. something.
No, I know that. but all these people have been involved with the Star Trek movies and everything else. They've worked together on all these things, including some episodes of, some of them with Alias, but most of them with Fringe. And when you watch, while I was watching Almost Human, there were a lot of Alias, there's a lot of Alias and Fringe stuff in there. I mean, just, it's like, really, you can't think of anything new?
Now you're ready for Star Wars Episode 7. But I see a lot of potential in this, but it's really clunky to start with. There's a lot of hand-waving. There's a lot of blah, 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 and that's why things are like this. Like, in we get a little opening narration that's just ridiculous. Technology has expanded. Consequently, crime is up 400%. Just trust us. Also, we have androids now, and we've given one to each cop. Nobody else but to each cop. Trust us. Go. Like, there's a lot of...
Yeah, I know.
All their technology and stuff, they're just like, science, go.
That's J.J. Abrams, that's what he
does. Well, and it's, the whole thing is very Robocop-y, also.
I suppose.
The whole thing has that vibe, which is okay, so I see some potential here. But yeah, it is very sort of ham-fisted at this point. Good performances, though.
Well... It seems to me pretty obvious they care about nothing else except, you know, the relationship between the two main characters.
That it's secretly all about racism.
Well, no, that they want you to watch for those two characters and their relationship and everything else. Not only do they not want you to care about anything else, they don't care about anything else. I mean, except that it looks pretty. You know, they
but
just want you to care about
it. Also, it is all
two.
Secretly about racism.
I suppose.
Come on. There's that word again.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know, but I don't know.
I almost think it's too on the nose that they cast a black dude as the android.
I felt that way about that, too, but...
Trish was surprised earlier when we saw one of the other androids that look only kind of human, and she's like, that one looks Asian. Why does he look different? And I was like, In story, they had different models so that they don't all look identical, because it would be harder to tell them apart. Out of story, they didn't want to cast one guy as all the androids, and this guy happened to be Asian.
Well, and of course, I can't help but wonder why they didn't cast a woman in one of those roles.
They haven't figured out how to make gynoids yet, just androids.
But I mean,
seriously,
Carl Urban's character could have been a woman.
The technology
is
way more complicated. They also haven't figured out how to make artificial legs for women yet.
Well, I have a lot to say about this,
you know,
actually, but I don't want to give anything away.
Olive oil.
I don't have any problem giving things away on screenshots, so if you want to hear me talk more about it, you can
tune
into that one.
Check out Grape Shot, which is the combination of both of them.
Screenshots.
Your overall outside things is called Grape Shot. Because Screen Vine makes no sense.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
Okay, Thor the Dark World.
No. No, it's not really worth...
As
far as I'm concerned, wait for it to come out on Blu-ray or DVD. Don't.
I thought it was very good with one problem. I only had one problem in it. That problem was the script.
It wasn't... Okay.
It's better than the first one. I'll tell you that right now.
I wouldn't...
Better than the first one.
Well, it wasn't... I wouldn't say that it's bad, but of course, I wouldn't say it was good either. It was just so blah.
The story makes no sense. And there's no characterization for anybody.
Not interesting in any way.
Well, I'll put it this way. The most in-depth character in the movie is Thor. Think about that really hard.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it's not that they made Thor deeper than usual.
I don't know if... Loki, probably, actually.
No. Loki was a giant walking cliche in
this is the thing about that,
though. As a character overall, he's more interesting, but in this movie, he was not.
Right. There are people who are talking about how, for them... to have to have Loki in this movie for it to have any kind of interesting thing going on. I mean, when you think about it, why did they have to have Loki in the movie at all?
Because he was very popular.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, you totally could have left him out otherwise.
But if you can't tell a story without Loki, then that's a real problem.
Yep.
Because you should be able to do that.
Yep.
But
was good. Don't get me wrong. I loved watching him.
Well, but at the same time, adding him into it didn't save it. It was still boring and uninteresting.
I was not as bored as the first one. I'll put it that way. I was significantly less bored than the first one.
See, the first one, I was not bored because I didn't know anything about Marvel's take on Thor and Asgard and stuff. So I thought, oh, this is pretty neat.
Yeah, but that part was the first 20 minutes, and then we hung out on Earth with
Natalie Portman. Which I hated. I thought that was a horrible part of the...
Yeah, that was 70% of the movie.
Well, I suppose so.
That's the problem with the first one. This one, it's the exact opposite. The boring hanging out with Natalie Portman on Earth part is only about 30% of the movie. And the rest is cool spaceships and different worlds that all end
but
in
it wasn't,
time.
I know, but it wasn't novel.
But it was pretty...
Yeah, I guess.
You totally can wait. Don't get me wrong. I am not encouraging people to go to the movie theater for this. It can totally wait. As usual, I'm going to tell people this because I don't understand how you go to see the second Thor movie, which is... Wait, let me count.
He's counting.
The 8th Avengers movie. And leave during the credits.
Yeah, a lot of people
did that. A not insignificant number left. And then they had a thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
They had our shawarma, mid-credits, mid-shawarma, as I call it. And then it went back to credits, and more people left.
Yeah, we were the only ones in the theater to see the thing at the very end
That's
of the credits.
That's stupid, people. Okay, I'm telling you now, if you see this movie, there will be middle shawarma, there will be end shawarma.
Right.
Stay for both.
Except the end is...
The end is purely... Well, okay. Here's the thing.
I mean, if you miss it, you're not
missing
anything.
Plot-wise, and this is how they did it with Avengers 2 and stuff. The middle shawarma is the part that matters for, like, future stuff and whatever. The end shawarma is just sort of a joke. And, at first, the end shawarma makes me think I'm going to puke. And then at the very end, it saved it, and I was actually glad I stuck around.
Really?
I liked it, because we actually had been talking about, like, wait a second, what about...
What?
Don't you remember? The end shawarma first is the stupid part.
Okay, yeah.
And then
And then, I don't remember.
There were birds.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Yes, yes, yes.
See, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm not sad I stayed around for that. I'm not saying it was good, but I'm like, it was worth me sitting for 3 more minutes.
I guess. I mean, we were going to do it anyway. That's just what we do, but I don't know.
But yeah, so if you go, deal with that, people.
I mean, we just saw it because, you know, there was suggestion that there might be some things in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that relate to the film that you won't understand unless you've seen the film. So, and, you know, that was like a $5 thing. It was a deal at the theaters. So we thought, well, let's just go watch it. What the heck? Just to go out and do something fun anyway. So we weren't sorry we did it, because if we hadn't watched that, we just would have watched something else. And it turned out that, I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't elaborate too much on the film, but there were some things in it that
that'll be good.
That you wouldn't have known what they were talking about if you didn't
see
it. That's
nice then. Yeah, we were planning to pretty soon anyway, and then they said that on S.H.I.E.L.D. and we're like, well, we go this weekend then.
Yeah.
And there was the trailer for the next Captain America movie.
Right.
The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks cool. Producer said she thought it looks boring.
I have no idea.
It's very much action-y shit.
Yeah, but I have no idea how to judge a movie based on
trailers. Yeah, well, and they can fool you with those so easily. I feel like I've seen another movie, but I don't think I have. All right. So I think that's it. We should probably go to the hat.
Yes, let's do. That's what we're here for. That's why people listen.
You think?
We've asked
people. We don't know why people listen. We've established that. Oh, before you do that, though. My gaming group actually met all of us together.
Oh.
And made more progress than I expected to on our characters. I was surprised. I think we'll have our characters finished by next session. So then we'll actually start playing. So I'm kind of excited about
Excellent.
That. Excellent.
Yes. Hey, what was that thing I asked you about?
Southeast Missouri Volunteer SWAT?
No. Huh. It was a game system. David Avid was posting stuff about it on Google Plus or something.
Oh, the drama system.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. I told you at the time.
Well, I thought after I asked you, you were going to look into it.
No. Really? Wait, what?
I just thought maybe you'd be curious.
Are you, new?
Anyway, this is digested.
When have I ever followed up and looked into things? Ever in my life?
You're constantly talking about how you fall into a Wikipedia rabbit hole and all this stuff, so I figured, well, maybe
it doesn't matter. Only if it doesn't matter. It has to not be useful in the slightest.
But this is going to be useful?
Well, it was you legitimately wanted to know.
No, but it sounded like something that you would...
has value... Therefore, not going to do it.
I thought that it would be maybe a gaming system that you would want to use because it's heavily narrative and all this stuff.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty satisfied with Fate right now.
All
right,
then. This is digested.
Somebody wrote too much.
Mark McKibben
wrote too much.
Dear Fedora Fiends.
Mm. Oh, that's a new one. Shittiest band name ever.
Fedora Fiends?
Yes.
Oh. Let's see. I got Fallout New Vegas. Did you play it on the PC, and did you find it horribly buggy? We did not play it on the PC. Don't like playing games on the PC.
What the hell kind of question is this? Dude, you know how to get a hold of us individually. You can just ask us.
Well, did you play it on the PC?
No.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's buggy on the PC.
Well, no. Here's the thing.
Was it buggy?
It's buggy.
It is?
It's buggy on every platform.
Why? What did you play it on?
I played it on 360.
Well, we didn't have any...
And you played it on PS3?
Yeah.
PS3 actually is known to be buggier than the 360.
I don't remember.
Did you look up any shit to see if there were any quests you missed or anything?
No.
Because, see, a lot of the bugs are things like certain quests don't ever trigger.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Of course, exactly. Again, this is me. I'm saying that it wasn't buggy, but if I were to talk about it for an hour, I'd probably remember a whole bunch of them. So.
In general, Bethesda games are buggy.
That's what everybody else does.
Obsidian ran point on this one, and New Vegas is known to be quite buggy. If you look it up on the wiki, for like every quest and stuff, there's a whole bunch of bugs. Like, oh, if you're playing this it on this platform, right, it's fucked up this way. If you're playing it on this one,
we didn't buy it right away either. I mean,
no, they patch stuff. Yeah.
Well, then maybe we just got a good patched up version or something.
No, there's still stuff. There's some stuff that never got patched.
I don't remember running into any.
Probably mostly you just had stuff. There's just quests that you didn't even know existed. I had one quest in particular that I couldn't ever get to trigger in the whole game, and that kind of annoyed me because I kind of wanted that quest. But
wait. No, yeah, now I do remember. No, that's from that was Fallout 3. Maybe there was, and I just don't remember.
I would think arguably the PC version would be the least buggy, but
well, that's what I would think. Especially since if memory serves, Mark only got it fairly recently, so. You know, it should have had a lot of that stuff patched up. I would think.
So it's all your fault, Mark.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I agree with you. I think the PC version would be the least buggy to begin with, and then the most likely to have all the patches done.
I was bored before you finished reading the question. This one.
The one you're holding.
From Craig.
Craig.
Craig Duffy from somewhere in the UK.
Craig, what did you say?
Duffy. Yes,
that's Craig's his last name. Oh.
Sorry, spoiler alert. Dear Minions of the Hat, do you think dinosaurs are cooler now that we think most of them probably had feathers? Yeah, generally feathers make everything cooler, don't they?
I don't know.
I mean, picture like a really cool guy, like in a cool suit with cool sunglasses, you know, nice shoes. Now picture that same guy with feathers. That's cooler.
No. Were you a big fan of dinosaurs when you were a kid?
Oh yeah. I had a phase where I was going to be a paleontologist.
What is that? Why?
I don't know.
What do kids? Why are dinosaurs like the next best thing to say Bugs Bunny or Kermit the Frog? Know. What is going on with that?
Probably some deep rooted cultural shit there, that certain stuff that gets indoctrinated into us early translates dinosaur people to be cool, and then we get older and we're like, oh no, wait, they're just nerds. Dinosaurs are cool, though. Like, I actually saw there was a show that used to take different, like, tropes and aspects of science fiction and discuss them, and there was one that basically talked about how dinosaurs are all over sci-fi because people just put them in, because putting in dinosaurs is always awesome.
Well, I don't get that.
I would guess because they are fantastical creatures that actually existed. It's the closest we got to, like, real-life fucking dragons.
Oh, you know, you're probably right about that.
Because they're badass, you know?
You're probably right about that. It's
real-life monsters.
I mean, something that really existed, and yet it seems almost like something someone would make up.
Yeah, and we don't... There's no analog anywhere. There's no analog to it. I mean, there's lizards, but lizards don't look like that. If you look at all the other prehistoric stuff... Giant sloth. We have small sloths now. They're not that exciting looking. They're adorable, but woolly mammoth. Yeah, we got elephants. We can picture them wearing a wig, you know. Giant. Basically, we have giant everything you already have. So that's not that exciting. Saber-toothed tiger, kind of exciting. But it's still, I've seen a tiger, bigger teeth, you know. Like, I get it. We don't really have dinosaurs. Like, or anything close. Komodo dragons are kind of cool, but they don't really have any features. Komodo dragons look like somebody made a dragon out of Play-Doh.
You've got a lot of opinions about this.
I've been reading a lot of Sean Baby articles recently. He's a guy on the internet, and so consequently, I'm waxing towards both the heavily metaphorical. And the seriously dickish. So, if you notice me doing that too much, that's Sean Baby's fault. But yeah, no, I think that's what it is. I think it's, they're like dragons that were actually around.
Well, you know, scientists, I don't know if this is a recent development. It's relatively recent, I suppose. Scientists are talking about this notion that feathers are just adapted scales or whatever. Yeah. And they're deciding that that's not the case.
Well, really? Now we're going back? They don't have feathers anymore?
Well, the notion that feathers are just adapted scales, they're moving away from that.
All right, did dinosaurs still have feathers, though?
I don't know.
Well, what are you doing half-assed in this here?
I'm just telling
go
you.
Go back and talk to science and
I'm just
ask them.
Telling you what I've read, that they're challenging this notion that feathers came from some kind of adaptation from scales, that they're challenging that notion. One scientist that this is one thing I find really interesting, one scientist who's looking at feathers and how they've changed evolutionarily speaking, talks about how, foliage, like colorful foliage for male birds, to display to female birds or whatever in mating, that, the notion that there's some kind of, that you can explain this by a survival adaptation actually doesn't pan out. And that it just seems to be the explanation for why this happens in nature, the colorful male birds or whatever, is just because that's what the female birds liked. It's
well, yeah.
There was no particular survival.
It was aesthetic.
Yeah.
Well, because why would there be? Why would being brighter blue mean, you know, you're more you have better traits?
This is why I find this interesting, is because a lot of people who do research and form theories and commentary on evolution, from my observation, they don't seem to understand evolution very much. In other words, they think of evolution completely as competition and a specific survival benefit, but evolution is about like accidents, and it's about
randomness.
Things that happen for no particular reason, but they survive because nothing makes them not survive. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
They're to think of everything as having a specific survival benefit. I mean, that's almost placing some kind of purpose or some kind of goal on the part of nature,
well,
or something that doesn't exist.
People tend to think of as phenotype A, B, and C are around, and one of them is going to win.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's true. Sometimes A died off because A's thing was stupid. But C is technically better than B, but just, or not even better, but, you know, I don't know, different. But neither of them is going to make them breed any less.
Well, right, and something might not, something might not help something survive necessarily. It just doesn't do anything to prevent it from surviving.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would it ever go away?
Yeah.
So there's this notion
that prime example, male nipples.
Okay.
No, seriously, that's a legitimate example.
All right. Well, my point,
because they don't serve any purpose now, but there was no. Probably some, there were mutants out there who had no nipples, but they didn't have any more kids for it, so they're still there.
Well, okay, but my point is,
nipples
most
nipples make you nervous.
No, my point is that the most of the things that people hear about in the popular media, especially, or even in the science section of a particular, like CNN science section or whatever, when they talk about evolution, it's such a narrow interpretation of evolutionary theory, and so everyone has this image, I think, of biological forms like actually competing with one another, and one of them wins and one of them loses, and this is how all the forms got to be the way they are. But that's not exactly
and part of that
it
is
works.
When you got into social Darwinism, that really clouded, because people started backtracking and trying to apply that to actual evolution.
But I think
that didn't work super well.
Well, I think they still do it in the popular imagination and
absolutely
in the popular scientific literature.
Yeah.
So I think it's valuable.
Wikipedia
that
has some great stuff on common misconceptions of genetics and of evolution.
Well, I think a lot of scientists, so-called evolutionary scientists, seem to have these misconceptions. So I think it's good that there's a scientist out there saying, hey, you know, I think the reason this and I think he, not just colorful feathers, but I think feathers in general, he's arguing there was no particular survival benefit to this or anything. It just happened, and it didn't hurt the survival of this form ever, so that's why it...
Well, and later it aided in flight. So
later.
Okay.
Yeah, much later. So in other words, it's not like nature foresaw that these creatures would fly, and therefore this is how feathers came about. That was a later development.
Intelligent design.
Well, whatever. I mean, the feathers themselves...
Irreducible complexity. There's nothing simpler than a feather. Wait, what? That's not right.
The emergence of feathers in you know, biological
think
forms.
Think of something less complex than an eyeball. I dare you. You can't do it. Ha! God exists.
Yeah, there's just a lot of lack of understanding out there, even among some scientists, about how evolution works. In fact, evolution isn't really so much about competition as it's about... I mean, for one thing, one member of a population...
It's about survivability.
Yeah, and it can't just be one member of a population.
No.
You know, if one member of the population has this trait, that's not good enough.
Unless you're in real dire ecological situation. Or there's a major shift in your situation, like the pepper moths.
Sure, but also...
A major shift in your situation and what could just be a very small handful
of mutants
that have been around for a while in the exact situation you're talking about. Nothing made them die. Yeah. They just happened to be there. Suddenly, very valuable.
Yeah, that's right. But that's kind of the exception and not the rule when it comes to evolution. Yeah. And not only that, but it's not so much that... single forms survive as whole ecosystems survive.
Yeah,
because usually if one member of an ecosystem falls, most of the other ones are going to too, just as a matter of course. So
well, and frequently it's you fill a niche in that ecosystem. So a very similar trait in a different ecosystem would not necessarily survive.
Right, and that niche concept, that's really the most important one. Not competition, not survival of the fittest, those things can be interesting and are part of some aspects of it, but the niche concept, now that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But that's what a lot of people miss, even some scientists. So I think the scientists that are talking about, and they're talking about this in relation to feathers in particular, how they emerged in biological forms, how they started to become used in mating rituals between...
And quills to write with.
No. And then flight became something that evolved later in terms of being aided by feathers, which, now remember, we don't need feathers for flight either. Because
I don't.
No, what I'm saying is there were flying forms that did not have feathers, so that wasn't a necessity for flight in the first place. So,
yes.
So you know. What was the question?
In World of Warcraft, there are some monsters that look like velociraptors, kind of. They're called raptors for the most part, actually. And they look like that, and they have feathers, like they have bands on like their knees and their elbows that have feathers attached to them as like sort of a tribal marking thing, like artificial ones. And I just was sitting here thinking, who tied them on there? They have the little arms. How did they get them on there? One of life's great mysteries. Now, the question is, now, and maybe not, because William's just throwing our whole scientific community out the window. William's just going nuts with the prayer will solve all our problems. I don't even know. But if we assume, again, for the moment, dinosaurs all have, most of them have feathers, does that make them cooler?
I don't think it makes them cooler, no.
It's an adjustment. I was raised with featherless dinosaurs. Not literally, mind you. There weren't, like in my crib. It's like, oh, look, it's the acid spitter. And look, oh, no. It would explain a lot, though, wouldn't it? If I was actually raised with featherless dinosaurs. I went out because I was the only opposable thumbs.
They're the original Pokemon, aren't they?
Survival.
I mean... Because, you know, it's like, oh, the Tyrannosaurus, oh, the...
Allosaurus, I choose you.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird that they're kind of like that. I think that's one of the Brontosaurus,
I choose you. Sorry, I don't exist.
Well, don't you think that's one of the things that kids like, is that there's so many kinds and you can learn about them and know about them? And I mean, it's the same thing that makes Pokemon fun.
Gotta
for kids
catch
to collect.
Them all. Oops, extinction event. That one kid strange. With the Diplodocus is like, fight, damn you, fight. Diplodocus can't fight. Diplodocus is a pacifist.
And Lost World tropes in science fiction were pretty early. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's been part of science fiction stock and trade for a long, long time.
Dinosaurs were awesome. I was raised with featherless dinosaurs. So, my gut reaction. You're still picturing me as just a little baby in a playpen with all the dinosaurs.
Yeah, actually. I don't know what.
I was raised by.
Raised by. I was gonna say raised by featherless dinosaurs. So you have this prejudice against the ones with feathers.
Exactly.
Because that's how it was.
We would stalk.
Feathered
them.
Dinosaurs killed your dinosaur parents.
Exactly. They crushed all the eggs. Poor Tyrannosaurus didn't know what to do. No, but so my knee-jerk reaction is to say, "What? That's fucked up."
Really?
That immediately, because I'm like, dinosaurs are cool, in totality.
Yeah, but
everything dinosaur is cool, and one aspect of dinosaur in my brain is no feathers.
Really?
It wasn't specifically a label, but there was a lack of a label feathers. So my immediate reaction is, oh no, these are not my dinosaurs, therefore not as cool. But I'm freely admitting that's a reflex inside.
Huh.
So I think possibly getting used to the idea, I might find them cooler. But I'm not sure, because I'm not used to the idea.
I mean, to me,
because
saying
I was raised by featherless dinosaurs.
It makes no difference to me if they have feathers or not feathers. I don't even know.
They would lie me down on the Brachiosaurus neck and swing me back and forth until I fell asleep. You've seen the Flintstones? Bam Bam, that was me.
Yeah.
That was based on me. I never got a damn cent for it. I am angry. And then the Brachiosaur would turn to everyone else and say, "It's a living."
That's good. Very good. Are we done with our first episode that we're recording tonight? Because we're recording two. Well, thanks, Mark and Craig.
Thanks, Mark and Craig. If you'd like to learn more about dinosaurs, visit your local library. Remember when they used to say that about everything?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you'd like to learn more about what the hell you just watched, regardless of what it was, visit your local library. Even The Simpsons. I remember at the end of what they said, we would just like to say that there are no winners in wars. There are no good wars, with the following exceptions. World War II, what was it? Revolutionary War, World War II, and the Star Wars trilogy. And then he says, if you'd like to learn more about war, there's lots of good books at your library, some of them with cool, gory pictures.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
That was Bart. That was the episode where they all joined up to fight against the bully, against Nelson.
Oh. Did they win?
Yes.
But nobody wins in war, that's right.
That's also the thing where we discussed they were drinking squishies, and he says, what flavor did you get? And he said, blue. That's where that comes from, too. All right. If you'd like to comment on this episode, and you know you would, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, you should write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with topics, questions, comments. We're getting a little heavy into specific few people writing in a lot, so unless you want them to rule this, do something about it, people. Also, get a hold of me, one way or another, and tell me you watch Dracula. And that you think it's so ridiculous it's hilarious. And then we can gossip together. So, until next week, which for us will be like 10 minutes, God loves you, and I love you, and William loves you, and that's the way it should be. Well, I'm not positive about God.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.